When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. A production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, welcome back to the show. My name is Matt.
They call me Ben. We are joined, as always, with our super producer, Paul Mission Control Deccant. Most importantly, you are you, you are here, and that makes this the stuff they don't want you to know. You know, for a long time now, we've been putting out two episodes a week. Back in the day, Matt, you and I were putting out a ton of YouTube videos every week. And this was back when it was one of the only things that you and I did. But still, we are grateful as always for the best part of the show, which is you, if you're listening now, our fellow listeners and conspiracy realists. And in between these episodes, we like to do a listener mail segment every week where we can hear from you. We can share your stories with each other. So, Matt, you and I kind of divide and conquer on these things. You know, I will have conversations with a lot of people on show social media or on my own Twitter and Instagram. And you, my friend, credit where it's due. You know, it's very important to me, at least. Credit's where it's due. You run point. I help out sometimes. I help like the kid in the Shake and Bake commercials, but you run point on our voicemail queue, and we love it. You also call people back. We've talked about this on the show before, and I want to be clear with everybody. Our voicemail stuff is about, I would say, 93% Matt Frederick, and that is me being very kind to me.
Yeah, whatever.
I'm just saying thank you. In my awkward way, I'm trying to say thank you.
Well, I do it for my own personal reasons because I love calling somebody from this number that they don't have in their phone that they generally wouldn't pick up on. And then when they do pick up, they always have the reaction, "Why are you calling me?" And it's glorious.
And one day, once I
get past some stuff in my personal life, I may also end up calling people. But there have been a few times, Matt, where you've reached out to me and you said, okay, we need to talk to this person together.
Mm-hmm.
And those conversations are always very rewarding. But, you know, we've been clear from day one that this show doesn't exist without you, fellow listeners. All the other stuff aside, this is your show as much as it is ours. And this is where we really put our money where our mouths are, your ears are, something. Okay, anyway, here we go. We're going to explore a disturbing story out of New Jersey. We're going to explore a story that starts with a funny headline and then goes to some really dangerous stuff over off the coast of Florida. And then we're going to end with a quick little cavalcade of voicemails that really stood out to the both of us. Matt, I propose that we begin this week's exploration in New Jersey.
New Jersey, as our compatriot Noel would say, I guess. I always hear him saying that in my head. New Jersey. I don't know why. He watched way too much of that HBO show. What was the one? Sopranos. Okay.
Oh, was that it? I've never heard him mention it.
Okay.
It is a really good show. It is. In his defense, it is a fantastic show. And the Pine Barrens episode is really good.
Yeah.
So I want to thank him for turning me on to that show, actually.
For sure, 100%. Let's go to New Jersey. It is not a message that comes to us necessarily from New Jersey. It comes from Taylor, who I did have the pleasure of speaking with for a bit. She just happened to be scrolling on TikTok when she discovered something, and she called in and told us about it.
Hi, so my name is Taylor. Feel free to use my name in this message. I wanted to talk about Colonia High School in Colonia, New Jersey. So basically what is happening there is that there seems to be an abnormally high rate of people who have the same type of brain tumor. So that would be glioblastoma multiforme. So this is being detected in high rates among students and staff that have attended or worked at the school over time. The school was built in the 60s, so this is definitely a longitudinal type of discovery. It's not just current students, and it's not just people from a certain time in the past. I first found out about this on TikTok, of all places, and I've seen a lot of things about it on Reddit as well. In the comments on both of those things, you see a lot of people being like, yeah, my uncle went here and he had this. Oh, my sister had this. I know people. So it seems like it's very present in those types of platforms. And then when I tried to look up news articles, I really could only find, in terms of mainstream news, something from CBS News and Today that talked about it. The rest seemed to be more local, smaller outlets. But even so, in these articles, they seem to be talking about the same type of idea that there's some type of environmental factor happening, maybe something to do with the land the school is built on. I'm not really sure. So that's why I think you guys maybe want to talk about this, see if you find it interesting. Maybe there's some other similar situations that have happened where there's pockets of exposure. But I just kind of feel like it's not really being discussed. It seems like there are preliminary tests happening. But I have not seen any result of those tests published or talked about really in any capacity. It seems a little suspicious if you ask me. I don't know. So I figured who else? You guys are perfectly equipped to talk about this. And I will say leaving a voicemail is a little harder than it seems. So props to everyone else who's left one before me that I think sounds a little bit more composed than I do. So hopefully that piques your guys' interest. And thanks. Keep up the good work. Bye.
Oh, nice. Well done, Taylor.
I never asked her why it was harder to leave a voicemail than she expected. I don't know why. It's literally Ben and some music, and then it goes beep, and you talk. It should be easy.
Well people don't react super well to being put on the spot, you know. Mm-hmm. Earlier, I had advised folks to not be afraid of taking it. You and I both talked about this back in the day when we first had the voicemail rolling out. Make a little bullet point list, you know, mm-hmm. and you could just read off the bullet points, right? But regardless, when you contact us, folks, please don't feel like you're in anything but safe hands. You know,
yes.
we've got your back. And Matt in particular has your back, as I said earlier. And also, Taylor, I would say that was a really well done voicemail.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it
was. So let's get into this. Let's talk about what Taylor just hipped us to. Oh, wow. I'm old. Okay. So let's head on out to Colonia, New Jersey.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I have to interrupt because you know I don't understand these things. Is saying hipped us to, is that archaic now?
I don't know. I think so. Maybe not. Is it?
Oh, man.
Oh, did I? Oh, I don't geez. Know.
Okay. Okay. Never mind. Right. Let us know. Let us know if that's an old figure of speech because we don't. But New Jersey.
New Jersey to Colonia High School, home of the Fighting Patriots. I've added the fighting there for everybody. It's a school that was built in 1967. And according to CBS News and several other places, as Taylor mentioned there, there is something rotten going on. Whether or not it actually has anything to do with the high school, that is left to be found. But there's definitely something happening in that area. Let's jump to March. All the way back to March 30th, 2022, when CBS News, via Meg Baker, who was writing for them, reported, former Woodbridge, New Jersey resident says 65 people who either attended or worked at Colonia High School have had rare brain tumors.
Hmm.
And there's an interview here with a gentleman named Al Lupiano, L-U-P-I-A-N-O. He is the primary person who has been looking into this and performing the research, talking to people, gathering all of the intel. He's an environmental scientist, and he had confirmed as of that date 65 individual cases of people with rare brain tumors. And the only common denominator that he was able to ascertain at that time was the high school itself. And he was actually diagnosed with a brain tumor, one of these. It was over 20 years ago, so around 2002, when he was diagnosed. And he still suffers from issues from that, according to CBS. And it's not like it's just him. His sister, who also attended the school, was diagnosed with a brain tumor, as well as his wife. Seriously, think about that. You, your spouse, and your sibling, all diagnosed with a brain tumor. His sister, unfortunately, was diagnosed with a glioblastoma and she passed away, at least as of the reporting that was done then.
Context note, only 5% of brain tumors may be linked to hereditary genetic factors.
Wow.
So the odds against that are fairly significant.
Yeah, they are. And then you bring in the other 62 people that he'd identified. And, you know, your mind starts reeling. Wow, what is happening here? What is the common denominator? What's occurring? So Al has just been on a mission since he made this discovery, like figure out what this is and get some action done. It's pretty awesome, actually. And Al, I don't know if you're listening or not, but if you're doing great work, man. Thank you for doing what you're doing. And I'm going to read you a quote from Al within this article. Quote, what I find alarming is there's truly only one environmental link to primary brain tumors like this. I added that like this. And that's ionizing radiation. It's not contaminated water. It's not air. It's not something in the soil. It's not something done to us due to bad habits. It's ionizing radiation. So this is according to Al, who's an environmental scientist. This is somebody who has had brain cancer for over 20 years. This is somebody coming at this from a very scientific perspective. And so if you think about ionizing radiation, that's probably something in an environment, in a building, in a place where you have been a lot. Because there's going to be a lot of ionizing radiation required in order to create that kind of tumor, right? It's not just a one dose, now you've got a tumor kind of thing. So Al Lupiano started saying, well, maybe it is this school. Maybe that's what the problem is. So he had a target, right? A potential thing to research, to study, and started down that path. And immediately there's a response here from Woodbridge Mayor John McCormick that I want to read to you. It's also in that CBS article. Quote, it was virgin land. It was woods. The high school was the first thing to be there. So there was probably nothing in the ground at the time. The only thing that could have happened potentially was fill that was brought in during construction. And here's the last part of that quote. We have no records 55 years ago. Now, what the mayor is saying here is that potentially if there wasn't some kind of factor that was producing ionizing radiation, the only thing, according to him, that it could be is the dirt in the land that was brought in to, you know, what he's calling fill, the stuff that you add in order to get certain elevations, whether you're going up or down to make a building fit into, you know, the place where you're putting it. Ben, I just really quickly want to pause here for a moment, because when I hear, especially a school like this, something bad is happening in an environment where a lot of people are gathering often, I think about those environmental factors that are supposedly not playing a part in the issue here. I think about the water source, right? Like lead pipes, mm-hmm. maybe something that's that all of the kids and people working there would consume. The air, maybe something got into the ventilation system and has been there for a long time. Maybe the building materials were causing some kind of problem, like asbestos. I don't think about ionizing radiation or, you know, radioactive stuff that could be causing this.
I think the three main factors of ionized radiation or ionizing radiation mm-hmm. are, well, broadly put, it's radiation from Earth, right? Mm-hmm. It's radiation from space, and then radiation from building materials. So I think you might be onto something, my friend.
Well, I think so. It feels like it, right? But remember, we're back in March, late March of this year. So if you jump forward in time just a little bit to May 4th, there's another story from CBS that, again, is about Al Lupiano and, you know, his mission that he's on. At that time, he's discovered over 115 people that have a link with the school. Again, attended there or worked there at some point in their life. He's got more than 2,000 people at this time to sign a change.org petition. It's becoming a bigger and bigger story. There's more of an alarm going off in the local area about this. More and more people who have had a family member with a brain tumor who attended this school are realizing, oh, wow, this is a thing. The story is growing at this point. And it grows enough to where there's some actual action being taken by Woodbridge and the government there.
This is fascinating because it's fascinating in a very bad way, Taylor. You're correct. There's what I would consider longitudinal evidence here. One thing that I think we should point out, just to put this in context, is that overall, if you live in the U.S., your chances of developing a malignant tumor of not only the brain, but the spinal cord as well, sometime in your lifetime, is less than 1%. Further, I would add, there is this pretty compelling evidence from cancer.org and one of their studies that indicates the rate of, or the incident rate, as it's called, for malignant brain or general CNS, central nervous system tumors, has been in decline from 2008 to 2017. So there is something different about this place. It's still, it feels like it's still sort of a whodunit, but there is definitely something there. We just need to figure out what exactly it is.
And here's where the twist comes in, Ben. Studies were done on the school. The story grew enough to where they actually took action. There's an environmental study at the high school on the campus, in the interior and exterior of the campus, anywhere where students and staff would be roaming and like just existing for long periods of time. And here's a quote from an article from the NBC news outlet there in the area. Today, we are very happy to announce that our extensive testing for both radon and radiation in the interior and exterior of the school produced no evidence of any cancer-causing hazards that warrant further investigation. That comes from Mayor John McCormick.
And I'm pretty sure, correct me if I'm off base here, Matt, but I'm pretty sure this school is still open. Is that correct?
It is. Right now, they should be out for summer break. But the school itself is still open, yeah. I attempted to call the school, but I'm pretty sure staff was just you know, not there in the office to even accept a call. I'm going to probably continue calling just to ask questions, even though the school itself isn't going to have any information. It's going to be the bodies, you know, that the mayor hired probably to do the testing.
The school probably also cannot legally comment to someone like you or me about this.
Yeah, I'm trying to get somebody who would be able to. Right. But I'd probably have to go to some kind of superintendent or something. Ugh, I don't want to do that. But this is the thing. People are not happy in the local area, especially the people who have been affected by this. They think something is wrong. Something isn't being looked at. And it is true. It wasn't an extensive study. They didn't, you know, they looked for radioactivity, specifically that ionizing radiation that is mentioned there, the thing that causes these types of cancers. But they didn't test the water. They didn't test the air. They didn't test any of the other stuff. But it shouldn't, those things shouldn't be a factor. So not testing them shouldn't be a problem, right? It's very puzzling. And to me, what it states is that there's some other place that is a factor in this that just hasn't been, you know, identified yet. Some place in that general area that everybody goes to at least once or a couple of times in their life.
Some sort of intervening variable, right?
There's
possibly
gotta be
some kind of public good. Yeah, absolutely. And I know Lupiano partnered with some folks to administer free brain scans. This feels like an episode kind of on the case here now.
Yes. Good. That's the best place that we could be. Honestly, that's how we figure stuff out here on this show, at least. We get excited because you send us something generally, and now we just can't stop thinking about it until we get to the bottom of it. So thank you so much, Taylor, for sending this to us. You can read more about this in a lot of the local outlets. The latest reporting I could find is from late May, very, very early June. So if you read or see anything new, we'd love to hear from you. Please reach out to us. For now, we're going to take a break, hear from a sponsor, but we'll be right back with more messages from you.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Attention, true crime enthusiast. Searching for a way to unwind after diving deep into the mysteries that keep you up at night? Look no further.
Introducing Lazarus Naturals, your trusted companion for CBD relief. With a commitment to transparency, Lazarus Naturals oversees every step from farm to doorstep, ensuring purity and quality you can trust.
Visit LazarusNaturals.com today and discover how CBD can help you decompress and recharge for your next investigation.
That's LazarusNaturals.com.
Lazarus Naturals, your partner in unraveling the mysteries of true crime.
Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Live Nation presents Concert Week.
From now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 summer shows.
That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists, like 21 Savage,
Alanis Morissette,
Cage the Elephant,
Celeste Barber,
Dierks Bentley,
Janet Jackson,
Meghan Trainor,
Peso Pluma,
Sean Paul,
Sum 41, and many more.
For way less.
Grab your tickets now through May 14th to see all of the artists you love all summer long.
For just $25 each.
Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to buy now.
That's LiveNation.com/Concert Week to buy now.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
And we've returned. Before we move on, I do want to point out that I'm reaching out to Al Lupiano via social media. So if you know him, or if you are him, if you're in contact with him, let him know. Let him know to check his messages. This is the part where my ears twitch, my nose starts tingling. You know what I mean? And what passes for my heart beats a little. So now speaking of strange, funny, disturbing things, Matt, I've been getting really into seafood. Despite the fact that the marine systems are collapsing around us, or maybe partially because of it, I want to ask you if you've ever heard of a little something called the bonefish, all one word, not bonefish grill.
Yeah, that's literally where my brain went. The bonefish sounds naughty, but I like it. Tell me about it.
It probably, you know, it makes me think that if Sublime had been able to stay together longer, ultimately, they would have released something called Bonefish. Well, the Bonefish describes usually a thing called Albula vulpes, and it could be a pretty big fish. It's not ever going to be as like popular as salmon, and there are a couple of different ways to eat it, etc., etc. But I started learning a lot about the bonefish in particular thanks to someone who reached out to me at Ben Bolin on Instagram. And I've got a lot of our fellow conspiracy realists. I want to thank you for reaching out to me on Instagram. I read every email we get. Matt does too. But it's sometimes it's a little bit easier for me to keep track of things. And we always try to preserve anonymity. But in this case, my friend, and we had a conversation about this. In this case, my apologies to you, because I couldn't find your name, and credit is very important to me. So please, please, please reach out as soon as you hear this and just say, "Hey, asshole, I'm the guy who told you about those bonefish," and I will shout you out on air because you deserve it, and you took the time to write to our show. Regardless of the avenue, we are grateful for it. Here's the story, Matt. Bonefish are not just, pretty delicious, a little cut of fish for seafood fans. If you're off the coast of Florida, you're going to find that they're also on drugs. As our soon-to-be non-anonymous Instagram pal of mine hipped me to this, it turns out that there was a study released that found dozens of pharmaceutical drugs were inundating the blood and tissue of fish off the coast of South Florida. And we're talking multiple things. Some of the stuff that people consider fun, like Valium, some of the stuff people consider necessary, like antidepressants and blood pressure meds. I want to shout out Nick Castillo, who's a scientist with the Florida International University, and the Bonefish and Tarpon Trust, who broke down some of this study, which you can read about in multiple sources now. Castillo says, "We found pharmaceuticals everywhere, and there was no place where, basically, a fish could be unexposed to pharmaceuticals, and that was a surprise." Matt, they tested 93 bonefish, in particular, as part of this study across 3 years, and of the 93 they tested, 93 were found to have drugs in their system. So yes, fish drug tests are a thing now. And it wasn't just one drug per fish. It wasn't like all the one fish was getting high. The average number of drugs found in the bodies of each of these fish was seven different drugs, pharmaceutical drugs. Some had as many as 16 distinctly different types of drugs in their system.
Wow. And Ben, you mentioned You mentioned several types of drugs. I don't want to be ageist in any way. This is my personal experience. Most of the travel I've done in Florida, or to Florida rather, was to visit grandparents, to hang out in, you know, communities that are specifically retirement communities. Many of the drugs described sound like, I don't mean to be ageist, it sounds like retirement community medications, right? Didn't you say blood thinners and all kinds
blood
of stuff like that?
Blood thinners were a big one. Yeah, antidepressants. And also prostate treatment medications.
Yep.
I'm going to back you up on this one, Matt.
Yep.
Antibiotics, pain relievers.
Uh-huh.
The news release that I found on this, straight from Florida International University, paints a sobering picture of this, because what they found was a contamination cycle leading through the food chain. Bonefish eat other fish, and they eat crabs, and they eat shrimp. And the crabs, the shrimp, the fish that are prey for the bonefish were also found to have these substances in them. And you've nailed it, because you have to look at the demographics here, right? Again, not being ageist. Not that it really needs to be said, but clearly we're just following the facts here. The smart money right now is on the idea that bonefish and other animals in the ecosystem are encountering these substances by interacting with human waste. There are right now, every year in the United States alone, about 5 billion prescriptions filled. And there are no environmental regulations for the disposal of pharmaceuticals. It is the wild, doped up West. The contaminants in this problem usually come from human wastewater, and your typical waste treatment plant isn't going to filter for that sort of stuff. It doesn't really exist to a wastewater filtration algorithm. They're just not built to think about that. But the issue is, those things, those substances, are powerful. They remain active. They can be released constantly, and exposure can affect all aspects of fish behavior. We don't exactly know how far it goes, we being the scientists, but we know that it has negative consequences on things like reproduction, things like odds of survival to the extent of their natural lifespan. Also, these things can, in other parts of the world, we know that they can affect fish feeding, their interactions with other fish, and their migratory behavior. This has led the researchers of this study to say Florida needs to expand and modernize wastewater treatment facilities and sewage infrastructure across the state. Initial question for me was, does this affect the human consumer? Which was admittedly a very self-centered thing to ask, but does it affect, you know, it's a question anybody in Florida would ask reading this headline. How does this affect me, right?
Yeah. Do we not have to pay for medications anymore? Do we just eat local seafood?
Right, right. I can't afford my prescription, so I guess I'll become a pescatarian, right? Mm-hmm. Is that the, yeah. You know, I also thought of mercury level warnings, which were really, you know, really common thing. Several years ago, people were warned to watch their consumption of certain maritime wildlife, with the idea being that it could lead to mercury contamination. There's some stuff that really alarmed the scientist here, including Jennifer Rehage, R-E-H-A-G-E, a coastal and fish ecologist and associate professor at the university. Not for nothing did she say these findings are incredibly alarming. Quote, pharmaceuticals are an invisible threat. Unlike algal blooms or turbid waters, yet these results tell us that they are a formidable threat to our fisheries and highlight the pressing need to address our longstanding wastewater infrastructure issues. Dude, we talk about it all the time. No one cares about infrastructure, really. It doesn't get the votes. It's boring to talk about. It's not a problem with a human face, right? Mm-hmm. And if it's not a problem with a human face or like a celebrity attached to it, then people don't really care until the bridges start collapsing, right? Until the water coming out of the faucet turns the wrong color or catches on fire.
And it's not a profit center either, right? So there's just no real incentive besides just not wanting to have your things break in your city. And yet it happens all the time.
And this is what's blowing my mind here, man. The ocean is big, dude. The ocean is so big. How many drugs have to be there to be detectable in 100% of the fish they looked at?
Yeah, it's got to be coming directly out of that wastewater, right? And pooling, I guess, in there? Because it's not like it would dissipate fully into the ocean, right? It would be in a localized area still. You'd have clouds of these pharmaceuticals floating around. But it's still...
That's what gets me.
Yeah. It's gross and awful and something must be done.
Rabble, 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 rabble. Yeah, I'm 100% with you. This is also calling into question other possible implications. How does this affect humans, right? Mm-hmm. If you eat enough, do you get functionally a dose of this kind of stuff? Or is it simply a matter of trace amounts? What does this mean for the future? Or, as one clever Redditor put it, and please beat me here, Paul, does it mean that our world is so f***ed that even the fish need antidepressants? I don't know what fish healthcare is like. If it's like the rest of the ocean, it's probably not very good. But it's a bigger problem, too. And Instagram guy, we gotta talk about this some more because I looked into larger context things, right? Systemic things. Puget Sound also has high rates of drug presence in the salmon there. Like, this is not just happening in Florida. This is not a case of, you know, quote unquote, Florida man just purposely drugging fish. You know,
or Florida fish seeks local supply of Viagra in his water. I don't know. I don't think Viagra was one of the things they found, but I can imagine.
Yeah. And, you know, it's no secret that different creatures in the water. So laughing about the Viagra idea, that different creatures in the water are already enduring incredible hardships. Right. And again, the question so often asked by the human species is, well, what does that mean for me? What does that have to do with me, right? The dominoes may seem far away, but they all make the others fall when you think about it. It's just a matter of time. That's how ecosystems and biomes work. So for some of us in the crowd today, it might be, you know, a laughable story. Kind of like, oh, hey, that's extra value if I buy the bonefish. And we hate to be the bearer of bad news, but the bonefish, legally speaking, is catch and release only in Florida, which means that you're just going to have to keep buying drugs the good old-fashioned way from your shady friend of a friend. I'm kidding. That's unfair. These are pharmaceutical drugs, so you should be getting a prescription to obtain these. But you know what it reminds me of, Matt? Over the years, you and I have seen multiple stories of other widespread contaminants in what would be considered public space, like a ton of cocaine in the water in Italy or specific Italian towns, a ton of feces on paper currency. 40%, by the way, the last time you touched a paper bill in the United States, there's a 40% chance you were rubbing on some poop.
That's why I launder all my money, literally. That's in a why machine.
We launder all our money through fine art. and this book we wrote, Help Us Launder Money.
No.
We'll see if Matt and Legal let me get away with that one. But the point of the matter is that these sorts of things don't get examined as deeply as they should, because they may not have immediately harmful effects to people, to the what about, you know, how does this matter to me species? And the fact that those things are not immediately damaging doesn't mean that they're not damaging. It doesn't mean they're benign, nor does it mean they're neutral. It means they may well have a danger in aggregate, accumulating over time. So with this, I am going to pause us for a word from our sponsor. I can't wait to hear back from our fellow conspiracy realist on Instagram. You can reach out to me directly there. If you have a story to share with us, we'll tell you how to get in touch with us through any number of means at the end of the show. But stay tuned, because we have, as we promised, a cavalcade of messages coming from you right after the break.
Snagajob is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Attention, true crime enthusiast, searching for a way to unwind after diving deep into the mysteries that keep you up at night? Look no further.
Introducing Lazarus Naturals, your trusted companion for CBD relief. With a commitment to transparency, Lazarus Naturals oversees every step from farm to doorstep, ensuring purity and quality you can trust.
Visit LazarusNaturals.com today and discover how CBD can help you decompress and recharge for your next investigation.
That's LazarusNaturals.com.
Lazarus Naturals, your partner in unraveling the mysteries of true crime.
Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Live Nation presents Concert Week.
From now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 summer shows.
That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists, like 21 Savage,
Alanis Morissette,
Cage the Elephant,
Celeste Barber,
Dierks Bentley,
Janet Jackson,
Megan Trainor,
Peso Pluma,
Sean Paul,
Sum 41, and many more.
For way less.
Grab your tickets now through May 14th to see all of the artists you love all summer long.
For just $25 each.
Visit LiveNation.com/concertweek to buy now.
That's LiveNation.com/concertweek to buy now.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
And we're back. A personal shout out to everyone that we're about to play here. You have very interesting things to say, and we can't wait to share them with everyone else. Way more interesting than the sidebar, I guess there are ads or there are more from CNN articles I'm getting from this other article I'm looking at. Just want to let everyone know this is the kind of important stuff that you're going to find. Michael B. Jordan, who's an actor, and apparently Lori Harvey, who's, I guess, I don't know what she does, but they split up. And according to this headline, Steve Harvey says he's Team Lori. And I guess that's because he's Lori's father? I don't know. Good call, Steve. Sorry, I was trying to make a joke about how stupid the news is, but I can't even do it.
Oh, Paul Mission Control has just said, Yes, he is Lori's father. I know who Steve Harvey is because I know stand-up comedy, but I'm not, you know, I'm unplugged from the celebrity stuff, man. I think it's a con job. It's just,
it's okay.
Right. No.
Anyway,
like, yeah.
We don't have to keep any of this in. It hurts my head.
No, let's keep it at mass starvation looming in Somalia. But who wore what to wear?
Well, right? But Steve Harvey is team his daughter. So great. Okay. All right. So
take that widespread starvation.
Okay. Here we go. Let's jump to a message we got from one Sean. I'm not going to set this up too much. Let's just play it and respond to it.
This is Sean Marsh again from Long Island. I am a U.S. veteran. I served in the U.S. Army during 1989 through 91. I'm considered a war veteran. I was in Berlin, Germany before they took the wall totally down. So a job I had was actually Morse code interception with cryptologic specialists. My title was 98 Hotel. Back in the old days, it was 05 Hotels. They called us hogs. Anyway, my question, really, the one I really wanted to talk to y'all about, was I listened to your episode on mad cow disease. I am a person who, unfortunately, is affected by the bad understanding of the disease. I was told when I got out of service, because I was in Germany between 89 and 91, there were outbreaks of mad cow disease, and I could no longer ever give blood. I don't quite understand this, since I was very proud of being able to give blood because I have a rare blood type. My blood type is AB positive. So I think AB negative is the rarest. But I used to love to give blood before I went overseas. I don't understand how you can say that I'm dangerous when you have no way to test for mad cow disease. And if I had such a bad disease, I don't think I would make it to 51, in which I've made it now. Once again, I'm a veteran. So if you have any more information on this particular topic, I would love to hear it.
First, thank you, sir, for taking the time to write to, well, to call us, you know, to contact us, I should say. And secondly, we have a little bit of an answer. And the answer, at least in my mind, Matt, the answer is really one of erring on the side of caution.
Yes. Well, I don't know, Ben, let's just say what the answer is. I found a couple of articles in just briefly searching about this. When it comes to new tests that have been developed over the past 7 years or so, where it's blood screenings for mad cow disease and prions, things like that, Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, several things here. So just, Ben, what have you found?
So, yeah, the mad cow disease is the street name, the media-friendly name for a disease that has a couple of actual names. In cows, it's called bovine spongiform encephalopathy. But in humans, it's called variant Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, like you just described, Matt. Mm-hmm. So it can be a little bit confusing. The symptoms are similar, regardless of which mammal is infected. And those symptoms go down to a little thing called prions, which everyone can remember from the excellent X-Files episode. Matt, mm-hmm. Hazard, that's when you and I both learned about this. Is that correct?
Correct. Absolutely. What, or was that one of the movies? Or was it an episode?
It was Kuru. I think it's the episode Our Town.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, yeah.
So, Sean, one of the most important things to know here about Red Cross donation and how that affects the ability to donate blood or to not be allowed to do it is that first, these organizations, they're doing mission critical work. Humanity needs them, but they're also terrified of being a vector for any sort of infection, right? The idea of someone, for instance, having a bloodborne disease like HIV, which leads to AIDS, and then having someone receive a blood transfusion and now contracting that disease. That is part of why they are so risk averse, because their numerous successes and all the work that they do around the clock every year will get ignored in favor of reporting one situation where things go wrong. So that's kind of that's the scrutiny under which they labor. The second aspect of this is that they know these prions can be communicated through donated blood, regardless of whether or not the donor shows any signs of disease. And they're basing this decision on precedent, not here in the U.S., but in the United Kingdom, where blood transfusions gave a relatively small number of people mad cow disease. I think it happened to 4 people, but I don't want to say only, because of course they contracted it. And in addition to being risk averse, I would argue that there's also a bit of the inertia of institutions at work here. You know, for a long time, there was a ban on people donating blood due entirely and only to their sexual orientation. The assumption being that those people, due to their orientation, would somehow be more likely to transmit bloodborne diseases. And this was enormously controversial. You remember hearing about this, right, Matt?
Ben, I had heard that. What's really weird to me, Ben, is that Sean, in this instance, just happened to be in Germany at a time when there were several outbreaks. Mm-hmm. And since that time, at least for a lot of Sean's life, there's been no good way to test if Sean actually was affected by this thing. It's just because of where he was at that time that he cannot give blood, and he can't even, I'm assuming he can't confirm at this moment whether he has been affected by it or not. I'd want to know if there's a way, I'm not seeing it right now, but if there's a way for Sean specifically to get tested for it.
Unfortunately, the only current method to test for human-borne mad cow disease is postmortem. You perform a postmortem analysis of the brain, or you could perform a biopsy, but it's a medical priority right now to create a non-invasive test that can detect prions in the blood. But there is some good news. Sean, that research is highly prioritized right now, and it's being prioritized at such a high level because the U.S. is encountering what vampires would call a blood crisis. Well, vampires and regular humans, it's the worst blood shortage in more than a decade. So especially people with rare blood types like you, Sean, you would be prized. And these organizations are risk averse because of the constraints that we just described, but they're pushing, they being senators and power structures in Congress, they're pushing for more research funding to allow more people to give blood. And they're also pushing for the FDA to change its policy on restricting people from giving blood due to their orientation. And this is something that we should, I mean, talk about in a full episode, man. Blood donation, plasma donation. We just didn't have time to hit it when we were doing our Body Brokers episode.
Well, you know, another thing, Ben, I don't want to get too far away from that conversation. It's just Sean's message about who he was and what he did in 89 to 91, some of the Morse code cryptography and some of that stuff. Like, I want to talk about that. I want to know more about that. That sounds awesome. But for now, hey, Sean, I think we're gonna leave it there. And, you know, always feel free to call back. We want to hear from you again. Write to us. We're going to jump to one or two more messages just really quickly here to get some opinions and statements. So let's jump quickly to Jordan.
Oh, and as we're rolling on Jordan, one last note, Sean, thanks for being one of the good guys, man. More people should donate blood. Don't want to even make a vampire joke.
You can't have my blood. That's
I'll get your blood.
No. All right. Here we go. Here's Jordan.
Hi, Ben, Matt, Noel. This is Jordan. I have been a long-time listener, first-time caller, and I was listening to your podcast episode on wealth, the wealthy and taxes, and I wanted to pose maybe a devil's advocate idea. Although I agree with the whole CEOs and executives and that sort of thing being able to kind of escape those high tax brackets they should be paying, I wanted to mention that I think, Ben, it was your friend who has sat in rental properties, and I wanted you all to think about, like, generational wealth. Myself, I'm 31. I have a 2-year-old daughter, and we started in our early 20s, you know, we bought our house, we worked to get out of debt and all that sort of thing, and we're working to build her wealth. And I know it's not going to happen in my lifetime, but maybe by the time I'm 60 or 70, we'll leave a good chunk of generational wealth for her. But I don't want her to have to pay taxes on it. Like, I get the tax rates, and I get that maybe some of the wealthy are a little bit crooked, but I've already paid taxes on all the stuff that I've bought. I've already paid taxes on my income, on my housing, all that sort of thing. I don't think it's fair for my daughter to have to pay taxes again on that. Especially as an inheritance tax or the death tax, as you guys call it. So I'd love to hear your guys' thoughts on that, because although corporations and companies are very corrupt in most cases, I don't think I'm corrupt, and I just want to provide a lasting legacy for my daughter. So love the show. Love you guys. Can't wait to hear from you.
Thank you, Jordan. I'm so glad someone called in for this, Matt, because it's true. We have to be very clear that when we're talking about wealthy people rigging the game, we're talking about a level of wealth that fewer than 1% of people across the span of human history have ever attained.
Yep. And Jordan makes such a good point. I left her a message. I didn't get to actually talk to her, but it really did make me think about my son and what do I want to do? What do I want to provide for him? And will I be able to do that ever? And if I do get, you know, when I'm 60 or 70, if I make it that far, like, what does he actually get? And what does the government get out of that? You know,
what's it taking?
Yeah.
Right. Because unless you attain, you know, a very, 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 rarefied, threshold of success, again, one that very few people can attain by design, by the way, then you do still have a likelihood of your government, wherever you live, taking a chunk out of it. And part of that arguably could be by design to help filter, to run a scrimmage line, preventing people from accumulating more intergenerational wealth. It's a fascinating subject, and maybe it's a topic for an episode in the future. But Jordan, I, like Matt, I tremendously appreciate that point. And, you know, here in the States especially, there are a lot of people who would look at someone who has, you know, who has some assets and say, oh, that person's rich. But, you know, like Chris Rock said, there's a difference between rich and wealthy, right? And it's important. And, you know, most of those people, by the way, our own friends and family, don't consider themselves rich. They're still busting their humps every day, usually for their kids. And I don't know, Matt, you can probably speak to it more eloquently than me, but yeah, I am really glad that Jordan reached out to us here.
Thank you, seriously, Jordan, for calling and giving us that perspective. Let's jump to one last message and then we'll be out of here, because at this point, most of you are probably asleep.
Or still driving.
Okay, here we go.
Hello, my name is Becca. I've heard, I can't remember what episode it was, but you guys said something about whoever's driving, oh, I bet somebody listens to this when they can't fall asleep. And somebody made a joke like, oh, I can't fall asleep with all those guys. And I wanted to let you know that one of those people does exist, and it's me. I cannot fall asleep without you guys. I listen to an episode every night of my life, and I set the timer on my Spotify to end of the episode. And a lot of the times I get upset that I didn't get to hear the rest, so I just have to listen to it over and over and over until eventually I finish the episode. But yeah, I want to let you know we exist, and I can't sleep without you guys. But you guys are my favorite podcast. I also can't drive without you guys. So thank you for making the podcast.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much, Becca. Dangerous
combination, Becca. If you associate us with sleeping, but then you're also driving whilst listening to the thing you associate with sleeping, I hope you're, I don't know, consuming caffeine or something while you're driving too.
or put us as the first playlist in your autonomous car. Seriously, Becca, thank you so much. I've joked about this since I read the reviews where I think I'm the one who mentioned this, Matt, where there were people who would say, I love this show. I can't go to sleep without it. and I think that's great, honestly, because our individual lives are always shaped by rituals of different sorts. I have a lot. I know that you have several, Matt. And if we are part of your life in that way, then that's awesome. Thank you. You know, I wonder when we're going to do that ASMR episode.
I don't know. We should, but I am going to start putting secret messages in to this. Like every episode from now on, there are going to be secret messages for people right towards the end here who are falling asleep. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be like, it's going to be dream inception infection kind of stuff. Oh, it's going to be good.
Can I team up with you on that?
Yeah, we're doing it right now.
We are the Blue Door. The Blue Door.
All right. And with that, thank you so much to everybody who's been calling in. Again, as Ben said, we're going through the voicemails. We're about halfway through May, almost there. We're going to keep doing that, and we'll be calling you back and putting you in more of these episodes. Thank you for reaching out to us in every way that you possibly can, because you've been doing it. We appreciate it. We can't thank you enough.
But we will try. So thank you, Sean, Jordan, Becca, Taylor, and look, if you're listening, if we talked about the fish on Instagram, I feel so bad, and I only have like 3 feelings a year. Reach out. Let me make this right. We try to be easy to find online. Matt, let's see. We got the Facebook. We got the Twitter. That's not enough. We got the YouTubes, the Instagrams. Conspiracy stuff is some derivation thereof. All across your inner tubes. But wait, you might be saying, I've been eating all these fish. I'm too high right now to hop on social media. That's like a permanent record thing. Can't I just give you guys a call? You absolutely can.
Yes, our number is 1-833.
Sorry, are you awake yet? No? Okay, it's 1-833-STDWYTK. When you call in, give yourself a cool nickname. We don't care what it is. We're excited to hear it. Let us know if we can use your voice and message on the air. You've got 3 minutes. Tell us anything you'd like. Respond to anything. We just want to know. We want to know your story. If you've got more to say than can fit in that 3 minutes, why not instead send us a good old-fashioned email? We are
conspiracy@iHeartRadio.com.
Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Attention, true crime enthusiast. Searching for a way to unwind after diving deep into the mysteries that keep you up at night? Look no further.
Introducing Lazarus Naturals, your trusted companion for CBD relief. With a commitment to transparency, Lazarus Naturals oversees every step from farm to doorstep, ensuring purity and quality you can trust.
Visit LazarusNaturals.com today and discover how CBD can help you decompress and recharge for your next investigation.
That's LazarusNaturals.com.
Lazarus Naturals, your partner in unraveling the mysteries of true crime.
Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Dealing with pests can be a pain, but relax, Terminix can help.
Because when pests show up, so does Terminix.
With over 95 years of experience, they have what it takes to take on any pest problem fast.
If your home or business has pests, don't stress it.
Terminix it.
Visit Terminix.com to book your appointment online today.
That's TERMINIX.com.